This past week, I try to think about things, what I want to discuss or talk about in the lesson for Sunday, and something, I don't know exactly what caused me to come upon this, if I was reading something or just something came across, watched something, you never know, sometimes things pop into your mind, right? And the thing I thought about was that of heaven. And I started thinking about how much do we think about heaven? How much should we think about heaven? In our lives, it's so easy for us to get caught up, as Brother Chris was kind of talking about, alluding to in the class this morning. We get caught up, and a lot of times if we're not careful, our time will be all used up in the things of this world and things we're going about and things, and we don't take time to think about the most important place that should be in our lives. Thinking of heaven is what I want to talk to you about this morning. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we look at this as the great chapter of faith. We talk about it, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Some of the great men of the Bible are discussed in this chapter. But I want you to look at verse 13 beginning. Verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." So notice a few words in this passage. First of all, it says they speak, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Now what he's talking about, the word homeland there, he's not talking about the fact that the land on the earth, somewhere like that. They were talking about something else. Okay, a greater place. Notice this, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. They weren't talking about their home from a standpoint of where they were living. Well, maybe we lived here, we moved over here, we want to go back home now. We talk about that. So now, my wife used to get upset with me all the time, because when we would be in South Carolina or even when we first moved here, I'd say, well, back home. And back home for me was back in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and all that. And so, well, that's not your home anymore. Okay, you're right. And now I've been living here longer than I've lived there. Okay, so, but sometimes we get the idea that was our home, right? That's our home. But this homeland that they're talking about is something different. Notice he says, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. A heavenly country, a spiritual country they're looking for. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Prepared for them a city, a heavenly home. A lot of times we talk about we're making plans to go somewhere. A few weeks ago, Perrin and I went on a little trip, okay? And so we had a lot of preparations that we had to do in advance before we could go on that. And in fact, some of the preparations started a few months in advance. Okay, and so we had to do things a few months ago. And then as the weeks got closer, then there were certain things that we had to purchase. We had to get, we had to prepare and all these things in order to make this three-day trip that we made. A lot of preparation was there. We couldn't just wake up and say, oh, we're just going to do this. We're going to go on this trip. We wouldn't have been able to go. They wouldn't have allowed us to go. Okay, we had to make preparations for that. Now I want to ask you something. What kind of preparations are you making for the greatest trip that you're ever going to make? And it's going to be a trip back. It's going to be a trip to your home, to your homeland where you're going to live for eternity? What kind of preparations are you making for that? Let's think about heaven this morning together. The importance of thinking about heaven. There's just some passages we want to turn to, and let's just read these passages. Let God talk to us this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we use this passage quite often, but I want us to think about it maybe in our context this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, so he's talking to Christians, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, and not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Notice that he says what we're to do. We are to seek those things that are above. We are to seek the heavenly things. We are to set our minds on heavenly things, not on the things upon the earth. That is part of the preparation of going to the place. You are to think about these things. Let me ask you, when you became a Christian, when you decided to obey the gospel, what were you thinking about? What were you thinking about? So I said, well, I was thinking about it. I didn't want to go to hell. Okay. That was part of it then, wasn't it? I was thinking about that I wanted forgiveness of my sins. I needed that. I was thinking about God. I was thinking about Jesus, what He had done for me, the great sacrifice He made for me. Then what were you thinking about? You were thinking about heavenly things then, weren't you? You weren't thinking about where you were going to eat afterwards. You were not thinking about the ball game that you were going to go to. You were thinking about heavenly things, spiritual things, eternal things. Well, he says you need to continue to think about these things. What Paul tells the Colossians, continue to think about these things. Set your mind on things above. Brethren, we need to be thinking about heaven. We need to be thinking about making preparation for that and going there. Another passage to think about, and back in our book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read some verses after this, but look at chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Speaking about the faith of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city. Now listen. That has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was looking forward to something better. He was looking forward to something greater. Are you looking forward to something better? Are you thinking about these things? Are you thinking about heaven and what it means to the Christian? Another passage, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Excuse me. Now, the context of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is reminding us all that the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, is going to come. It's going to come. Some people think, well, you know, God's slow about His promise, right? He hadn't, you know, all these things have been coming on. He promised He was going to come back, but He hasn't come back yet. But yet He is going to come. Now, look at chapter, and when He comes, by the way, notice what it says. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Listen, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn.
What are they to do? You are to wait for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God. Well, that to me, it sounds like we need to be thinking about those things, don't we? We need to be thinking about eternal things. We need to be thinking about heaven. We need to be thinking about our home. And by the way, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. And I know we've shared this with you many times. Brother Bill Moseley impressed this upon me from this verse. We need to keep in our minds that we are not citizens of this world trying to make it to heaven. We're citizens of heaven trying to make it through this world. And that's what we are. Listen, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are eagerly waiting for Him. Well, how do you eagerly wait for someone? You can't do that without thinking about Him. Without thinking about being with Him. And guess what? He's in heaven. So if we're going to be thinking about Jesus and being with Him, we're thinking about heaven. That's what it's about. So my question to you this morning is, how often do you think about heaven? How often do you think about heaven? It has much to do with our conduct. Right? Our thinking leads to what we do. So do you think about heaven? You know, there are many people today, they want to malign heaven. They want to just, I can't think of the word I want to use, okay? But they denigrate heaven. In fact, some people want to say that heaven's not real. Or some people may say, well, you know, heaven is boring. Heaven just sounds like it'll just be boring. You know, some deny its existence altogether. There was a man who was an evangelist several years ago. He died back in 2003, and you may have heard of him. He was big in the Seventh-day Adventist. His name was Garner Ted Armstrong. He said that he doesn't want to go to heaven because it would be boring to him. Think about that. The Humanist Manifesto, a quote from that says, "Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful. They distract humans from present concerns." Just think about that. There are many things that people say about heaven. We hear a lot of songs about heaven. I listen to, I have to be careful, some, okay, country music. You've got to be careful in some of the things, but even in some of the country music, there are things that people talk about heaven. And I'll give you an example. There was a song back a few years ago, and I know some people have heard of Kenny Chesney. And he talked about everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. And he was probably stating the truth there. And that's the way a lot of people feel about it. They talk about wanting to go to heaven, but they don't want to go now. Hank Williams Jr. had a song many years ago. Okay, and he said, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. That was part of his thing. And then he asked He says, just send me to hell or New York City. It would be about the same to me. And that's the misconception, some of the misconceptions people have about heaven and hell. There was a song many years ago, or several years ago, Billy Joel, it's not country, this was back in the pop, I guess. Billy Joel penned the words. He says, they say there's a heaven for those who will wait. Some say it's better, but I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young. I wonder how much God hurts when he hears things like that, when he sees his creation, who basically are just treating heaven and hell like a mockery, and what it cost God to try to save us all so we can go to heaven and to see his creation do that. Someone once said that heaven must be first in us before we are in heaven. Heaven must be first in us before we are in heaven. Sometimes, even Christians, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in this idea of being in this world and wanting to be in this world. There's a story about a preacher one time from a pulpit, and he looked out over the audience and he said, "Everybody, raise your hand if you want to go to heaven." Everybody kind of looked around a little bit, you know, so what's going on? They kind of, you know, they kind of, everybody, he goes, "Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven." Everybody except Brother Jones. Brother Jones didn't raise his hand. Everybody else decided to raise their hand, and Brother Jones was sitting over there. So the preacher said it again. He said, "Well, maybe Brother Jones wasn't listening. Maybe he was asleep." Everybody that wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. And still, Brother Jones didn't raise his hand. Well, after service, the preacher came up to him and said, "How come you didn't raise your hand? Don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Yeah, I want to go to heaven. I just thought you were trying to get a bus load up to go right now." He didn't want to go right now to heaven. And I'm afraid a lot of times we act the same way, don't we? Have you ever asked someone how they're doing? Say, "Well, yeah, it's a good day, isn't it?" "Yeah." He goes, "Well..." One man says, "Yeah, it's a good day to be above ground, isn't it?" Every day is a good day. It's above ground. It beats the alternative. You ever heard someone say that? Well, I tell you what, brethren. A day in paradise would beat any day on this earth. But see, it's because we don't think about heaven. We don't think about what God's done for us. We don't think about things. And that's why we say things like that sometimes. Because we're not truly thinking about heaven. I'm afraid sometimes we may have some of the misconceptions that people out in the world have about heaven. Another misconception is, well, almost everyone will be going there. So it says, "Well, you know what? God's going to take care of everyone anyway. So you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to prepare for it because God's going to take care of us." In fact, though, we can turn to passages like Matthew chapter 7 and passages that we all know very well. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." You see, not everyone is going to go to heaven. So we not only need to be thinking about it, we need to be preparing for it, don't we? We want to go to heaven to be with God. So you think about heaven, and there's some things there. I've got some things. We're just going to kind of really go through these. When you say, what is heaven? Well, someone says, well, it's a place prepared. Some of the passages we've already read talks about that it's a city. That God says He's prepared a city for them. You can go in passages in Revelation chapter 4 and it talks about a throne scene in heaven, a beautiful sight, right? And the Bible talks about also that it's a place of rest. A place of rest. A place of no sickness and death. Right, death and sickness is a result of sin that came upon the earth here. And so this earth is filled with those things. But guess what? Heaven doesn't have those things. There's no sin in heaven. So you know there's not going to be any of these things. It's the home of the soul. It is eternal. Eternal meaning that there's no beginning, there's no end. It's where God is. And I'll go ahead and tell you, brethren, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But that's what makes heaven, heaven. It's where God is. The angels are there.
The righteous are there. It's called the kingdom of God. Well, why should we be interested in it then? Why should you be interested in heaven? Well, it's kind of the opposite of some of the things we just talked about. Because guess what? Nothing is permanent here. I was telling Perrin or somebody here not too long ago, it's amazing. You know, when you buy something brand new, guess what? Before long, it's going to break, isn't it? Something's going to happen to it. It's going to wear out. It's not going to last forever. Okay, everything that you buy is going to wear out. Everything is going to... You say, I got a new vehicle. Yeah, well, guess what? It's going to start wearing out. The parts on it, you're going to have to replace things. First thing, you need to replace your tires. Always replace your tires. Keep good tires on there. It's brought to you by Carla. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, well, what I'm saying is you need to realize that everything is wearing out. Okay? And you've got to make sure that you understand that. That's why you look for something better. A place that you can go, there's not going to be anything wearing out. Material things do not satisfy here upon the earth. We think that, you know what? I will be happy as soon as I buy this. As soon as I get this, then I'll be happy. And when you get that, guess what happens? Just a little bit. You know, I got to have that. Yeah, this is the new thing, right? This is the... And when I get this, I'll be happy. And then when that kind of loses its luster, and you go, this is it right here. I'll get this, then I'll be happy. We'll be satisfied. Everything will be great. Guess what? Things of this world do not satisfy. Life is full of sorrows. We're made tired by responsibility and work. We look forward to a better life. We realize that death is certain. You realize that? That death is certain? Judgment is coming. Eternity is forever. We look for something. That's why, brethren, we should be interested in heaven. Interested in heaven. So, brethren, why do I want to go to heaven? Why I want to go to heaven? Well, you know, the Bible says that heaven is a place of reward. Heaven is a place of reward. In Matthew chapter 5, in verses 11 and 12, it says, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, in this life, there's a lot of inequities. And what I mean by that, there are a lot of injustices. There are a lot of things that you see out. So, you ever done this? I know you have. You ever saw something or saw something and you look at it and you say, you get all mad and say, "Well, that's not fair. That's not fair, is it? They shouldn't be getting away with that. They did wrong and yet they're getting away with it. They're getting on ahead in the world. They're doing all these things and it shouldn't happen like that." Well, why does that person who's so evil, why does he have good health? Why does he have this or that? And you say, "Boy, that's just not fair, is it? He should be getting what's coming to him." And yet, heaven is going to be a place where all the iniquities of this life will be righted. We're not going to read it, but you look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. You see the fact that God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. Hope provides an anchor for the soul. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of being rewarded by God for being faithful to Him. Heaven is a place of reward. But heaven is also a place of reunion. Some people seem to want to have a problem with this. The fact that heaven will be a place of reunion. But yet there's all kinds of passages in the Bible that refer to this. You remember all the way back in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, you remember when David was praying for the baby, the child that died. And when the child died, you know what he said? "I can't bring the child back." He said, "But I can go to him." Think about that. A great reunion. We're not going to be able to bring someone back to life here. But brethren, those that are faithful, all of the faithful saints, all of those great men of faith that we talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, all of the great things, we're going to be able to go one day to be reunited with all the saints. What a wonderful thought that is. What a wonderful thought that is. It's a place of reunion. But brethren, heaven, I want to go to heaven because heaven is where God is. I was talking to Lincoln yesterday. And he calls his grandfather, he calls him Grandgetty. And I said, what makes Grandgetty's house a place you want to go to? He said, it's Grandgetty. What makes heaven where we want to go? Because that's where God is. Our Father, our Heavenly Father. We want to be with Him. So many things to think about. There's so many passages. I started trying to look so many passages. But I want you to just listen. We talk about Matthew 7 and verse 21. And we use it a lot and talking about doing the will of the Father. But listen to this verse. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Where is God? He is in heaven. We do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Heaven is where God is. That's where we long to be, as sometimes we pray. We long to be with our Father. We long to be with Him. He created us. He loves us. He wants the very best for us. He sent the very best down from heaven to die for us. Heaven is where God is. But brethren, I also want to go to heaven because of hell. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 10 verses talks about, my Bible, it actually says our heavenly dwelling. But in verse 8, he says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. At home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, listen, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Knowing there's going to be a judgment day, that we're going to be judged for the things we've done in the body, whether good or evil, rather knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We want to help others. We want to go to home. We want to go home to be with God. Guess what? Hell, God's not going to dwell there. He's not going to be there at all. On this earth, the Bible says that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Even those that are evil in this world, they are not completely cut off from God. Yet in hell, you're going to be completely cut off. See, I want to go to heaven because I know there is a hell. And I don't want any part of that.
You don't want any part of that either. You see, brethren, our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. There's a song that we sing sometimes, and that's number 210 in our books, Alone at Eve. And I've never really thought that much about the song and thinking about it, but when you listen to the words of the song, it means so much. We're going to sing just the third verse of this song this morning. And this song, and the third verse especially, really talks about everything that we just got through talking about. Okay, this is my outline, the third verse. Okay, listen, pay attention to the words as we sing. Alone at Eve, the third verse. Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting Him face to face, trusting Him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with Him to guide me home to the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. I came across this several months ago, and I've been holding it, thinking about this. One man said, for those who are Christians, earth will be the closest they will ever get to hell. And for those who are not Christians, earth will be the closest they'll ever get to heaven. I want you to think about that. This world is the very best that some will ever experience. This should cause us to be more zealous in sharing the gospel and wanting to help others. At the same time, we should take comfort in the fact that because we are children of God, this world with all of its heartaches and hardships will be the worst we'll ever experience. You see, brethren, we need to be thinking about heaven. We have a great responsibility to try to get other people to think about heaven and try to get them to think about hell. And try to get them to think about the fact that they can only get to heaven through Jesus. This morning, think about this question. Who is in heaven? God and Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Think about the angels. All of the redeemed of all ages are going to be there. Are we going to be there this morning? Are we going to be there? But brethren, if you're not thinking about it and you're not preparing for it, then you're not going to be there. You're not going to accidentally fall into heaven. But yet God did everything in His power so you don't have to go to hell. He sent Jesus down to die for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants you to love Him enough to obey Him. He wants you to love Him enough to turn to Him while you have opportunity. If we can help you this morning anyway in turning to Jesus, please come while we stand and sing.